John chapter 10 and from verse 11. This is God's word. The Lord Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hard hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter. Jesus was in the temple courts, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me. But you do not believe, because you're not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." This is God's word. May he bless it to us. We read a few moments ago from Luke chapter 14, where the Lord Jesus told the story of a man who invited guests to a banquet that he had prepared. Everything was ready. The invitations were sent out. And we read the words from the text, "But they all alike began to make excuse." But they all alike began to make excuses. I mean, what a privilege. The invitation had been extended to them to come and to enjoy the banquet. And yet one after the other, they began to give reasons as to why they couldn't accept this generous invitation. And if you study their excuses, you'll see just how foolish they really were. The invitation to the supper was given, but they all alike began to make excuses. And that story told by the Lord Jesus is right up to date today. I mean, that man had prepared a feast, he had prepared a banquet, the invitation was given to come to it, people gave reasons as to why they couldn't come. The meaning of the story told by the Lord Jesus here surely is very clear. Our Lord has prepared a feast. He's prepared a banquet. He has a place prepared for his people in heaven. And through the gospel, the invitation has been issued to men and women down through the generations. And as you know only too well, that gospel invitation has been extended to you here time and time again. On numerous occasions, the Lord has said to you, come. Everything is now ready. And maybe you can remember back to a Sunday school class, or maybe a BB or GB Bible class, or to a men or women's meeting, or maybe to a sermon preached in this church, or in a mission hall, or in some mission. You can remember the gospel invitation being given, but I wonder what excuses you've been giving over the years. What excuses you've been giving right up maybe to this very moment for rejecting God's gracious invitation to you. And so quite simply this morning, afresh today, the Lord Jesus says to you, come. He says to you, by my death and resurrection, I have made it possible for you to have your sins forgiven. I have made it possible for you to be in heaven with me. And all you have to do is to come to me, says Jesus. So my friend, will you again leave this church building? And as you leave, could I say the words of Jesus? But they all alike began to make excuses. My friend, what reason? What excuse will it be today? What excuse will you give to God today for refusing his gospel invitation? Or maybe today you're sitting here in the presence of God and you're aware that the Holy Spirit has been working in your heart, maybe in recent days, maybe even in recent weeks, and he's been challenging you. And if that is the case, well then surely you know by now that that same Holy Spirit will not allow you to push Christ's claims on your life to the side, because you've been trying and you haven't been able to do so. And surely you've discerned that no matter how hard you try to rid your mind, to rid your conscience from your need of salvation, the Holy Spirit has been constantly turning your thoughts to your need of Jesus. And haven't you been discovering that you cannot run away from your sin? Haven't you been discovering that the gospel invitation seems to be coming at you from every direction? For instance, you're sitting here today, knowing your need to be saved, knowing that you'll never have peace in your heart until you ask Christ into your life. But what excuse today are you going to give the Lord Jesus for refusing his gracious invitation? For some of you, if I was to ask you why, up to this point in your life, you haven't accepted the Lord's invitation to receive eternal life, you would have an excuse right at the end of your tongue. But my friend, realize that your excuse or your excuses will not stand the light of eternity. Your excuses will look altogether different when you give those excuses before the great judgment seat of God. And maybe you would say to me this morning, Preacher, I know I need to be saved. I would have come to Jesus for salvation. But there are so many things that I just cannot understand. There are so many things about Christianity. There are so many things contained in the Bible that I just cannot understand. Well, my friend, listen to me. If you remain unforgiven, you will never understand these spiritual things. God says that the carnal man cannot understand spiritual things. The Bible is a spiritual book. So there's no way the unsaved, there's no way the unregenerate, the unrepentant heart can understand the scriptures. And that's the reason why so many things are too difficult for you to understand. But one thing is absolutely plain in Scripture. There's one thing which every sinner can understand, and that is the way of salvation. I mean, even a child who picks up a Bible and reads the Scriptures by themselves can understand the way of salvation. God put salvation before you simply as a gift. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. God put salvation before you simply as a gift. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Everyone can understand that. So I'm not going to argue with you at all today. You are right. There are dark things in the Bible. There are mysterious things in the Bible, which now you cannot understand. But when you're born again, your eyes will be opened and the Bible will become a new book to you. But I wonder, has that been the excuse that you've been using for not getting right with God? Or has it been something else? Maybe you would say to me, Frank, I would really love to be saved. I would love to come to Christ for salvation, but the poor witness of so-called Christians hold me back. Is that your excuse? I mean, you could probably say truthfully, I know a man, I know a woman who professes to be saved, and I've watched them, I've watched their actions, and I've listened to their speech, and I can't see any change in their lives. Their witness is a hindrance to my coming to Christ. Is that your excuse for refusing the gospel invitation? My friend, there are so many who give that excuse to me. I was saved when I was 14 years old. And from that day, I remember years following, speaking to my father often about his need of a saviour. And the excuse that he gave me over and over was this one. I know a man and my work. And if that's Christianity, I want nothing to do with Christianity. And I remember saying over and over and over again to him, Dad, when you stand in front of Jesus one day on that day of judgment, you cannot say to the Lord Jesus, I did not get right with you. I did not get saved because of him. It's between you and the Lord. Let me say this right away. I'm not going to argue again with you this morning about the poor witness of believers. Wouldn't dream of it. Because every believer fails in his living for Christ. Every believer. And how I hope and pray that my witness for Christ is not holding someone back in my family or in my circle from faith in the Lord Jesus. And if you are a Christian, listen to me. Are you the stumbling block to someone here or to someone in your family? Is there someone pointing the finger at you, your actions, your words, and you're allowing them to have you as the excuse for them turning their back upon the Saviour? My unsaved friend, if the poor witness of a believer is your excuse for rejecting the Saviour, let me stress again, there have always been hypocrites in the church. There have always been hypocrites in the church. There always will be hypocrites in the church. But there will not be one in heaven. There will not be one hypocrite in heaven at the feast of the Lamb of God. Jesus says to you today, follow me. You're not to look to John or to Peter or to Mary, to this one or to that one. Jesus said, follow me. He is the only perfect one. My friend, it is so easy for you to find flaws in the character of any Christian. But my friend, you will find no flaws in Jesus. So don't look to those who profess to be saved. Look to him. Look to Jesus. When you stand before the Lord Jesus on the day of judgment, as I said often to my father, your pointing the finger at the poor witness of a child of God will not be enough. That excuse for refusing salvation will not be accepted. Preacher, I would love to be saved. I really would. I would love to come to Christ for salvation, but I'm afraid. I'm afraid that I just couldn't keep it. And if that's been your excuse, I can remember a member of my congregation after a morning service coming round to the minister's room. And he told me how that at that service and at other services previously, God had been speaking to him. And he knew he needed to be saved. And he told me that he wanted so much to be saved. But do you know what a stumbling block was? It was just this that I'm talking about now. He was afraid of not being able to keep it. That maybe in a week's time, or in a month's time, or in a year's time, he'd be back into the world. And I wonder, is that what you're afraid of? Are you afraid of coming to Christ and then finding it too difficult to carry on? Well, can I say to you, my friend, that such an idea is a foolish one. Such an idea is an uninformed one. You see, whenever you come sincerely to Christ for salvation, when you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, that salvation is yours. That new life has begun, and no one and no thing shall be able to snatch that salvation away from you. Once you've obeyed the scriptures, once you've been saved, God the Holy Spirit enters your life, and it's the Holy Spirit who gives you the power to live for Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit who enables you to live a godly life. It's not up to you. The Holy Spirit takes over. And day by day, the Holy Spirit of God changes your life to be more like that of Christ's. Whenever you come to Christ for salvation, you, as it were, you place your hand into the hand of Jesus. And listen to the words of John 10. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. So don't you be saying today, I would love to come to Christ for salvation, but I'm afraid that I couldn't keep it. My friend, it's Christ. It's Christ who keeps you. You come, you repent of your sin, and you'll find that the Lord is your keeper. Frank, I would love to be saved. I would love to come to Christ for salvation. But I don't feel that the time is right just yet. My friends, I have heard that excuse so often. I would love to be with Christ in heaven. I would love to have the assurance of eternal life. But I don't know if I have the right kind of feeling. Again, what a silly statement that is. If you really want to be in heaven, if you really want Christ's salvation, the Lord Jesus offers it to you, and that is all there is about it. The fact is this: Christ invites you to come to him. If you want to come, just come. Don't be talking about feelings. It's got nothing to do with feelings. If you're saying today, Frank, I want to be saved, but I don't feel that the time is right. My friend, if you acknowledge that you're a sinner, if you would turn from your sin, salvation can be yours today. But if you're determined to wait for some special circumstance, if you're determined to wait for some Damascus Road experience, it may never come and you will perish. For there's no better time to be saved than now. But surely, preacher, Surely something out of the ordinary has to happen. Surely I have to feel a special feeling within me. My friend, the answer is no. If you acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner, I mean, don't you know right now that that's what you are? Don't you know that you're a sinner? There's no argument surely from you about that, is there? If you acknowledge that the only one who can forgive your sin is the Lord Jesus, if you acknowledge that on the cross the Lord Jesus made it possible for you to receive his salvation, then all you have to do is to take that offered salvation from him right now. It's not about feelings. It's about facts. The Holy Spirit has brought you today to hear from God's word. And quietly, as you sit in your seat here, or quietly at home this afternoon, you can be saved through faith in Christ. The right moment for you to be saved is now. There may not be another opportunity for you to call upon the name of the Lord. So what excuse will you give today to the Saviour for rejecting his invitation to be saved? Is it this one? Preacher, I would love to be saved. I'd love to come to Christ for salvation. But whenever I think of the cost involved, the cost is too great. And for some young people here today who want to get saved, they're afraid of the reaction of a father or mother. Or they're afraid of the criticism of their friends. And the cost of salvation seems too great. Or maybe there are men here today who want to get saved, but they're afraid about how being a Christian is going to affect their everyday living. Is that the way it is for you? The cost of salvation seems too great. Maybe there are men and women here who want to get saved, but for some personal reasons, the cost seems too great. Maybe there are wives here today who want to get saved, but they're afraid of the effect their Christianity will have on their husbands. Or there are husbands here who feel exactly the same. The cost seems too great. I wonder how many here today will stand before Christ on the day of judgment and offer him this excuse. Lord, I would have loved to have come to you for salvation, but the cost was too great. My friend, on that dreadful day, and that is what it will be, on that dreadful day when you, if you're not saved, will stand before the Lord Jesus and hear those terrible words, "Depart from me, you cursed, in the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." On that dreadful day, when you begin eternity without the Saviour, on that dreadful day, when you'll be kept from the feast which you were invited to, in the lost eternity, while others who have accepted the invitation sit down to eat with the Lamb of God amid the shouts and hallelujahs in heaven, you'll be crying in the company of the lost. Then, my friend, you'll regret that you thought salvation cost too much. You see, to provide salvation for you was a very costly thing. It cost the shed blood of the Lamb of God. It cost the death of the Son of God. Christ's death was the price. Christ's death was the value that God placed upon your soul. And on that day you meet Christ, the excuse that salvation would have cost you too much will simply melt away and you'll be separated from the Saviour forever. My friend, I believe that the Holy Spirit has drawn you to this service for a reason. And the reason is this, that you might once again hear the gospel invitation. And the Lord Jesus says to you this morning, right now, he says, come. Jesus says to you, come. Everything is now ready. The invitation is again extended to you. And for you, it could be the final invitation. What excuse will you dare offer to the Lord today? And remember that God one day will sweep away all your excuses. It's the King of Kings, it's the Lord of Glory who invites you to this heavenly banquet. He wants you to come. He wants you to come just as you are. He wants you to accept his gospel invitation. My friend, make sure today that you will not be missing from the marriage supper of the Lamb of God. Leave without Christ today, and once more, you will have asked to be excused from the marriage supper. Is it not time? Is it not time to have done with your excuses? It's time to come to Christ for salvation. Come. Come today. Come right now. Yield your heart to Jesus in the stillness, in the quietness. As we come to the end of the service, as we sing the last praise, simply commit your life to the Lord Jesus. Oh, that this day, planned in eternity, will be the one that you will receive salvation. Preacher, I would love to be saved. Well then, my friend, don't leave this place today without the knowledge of your sins forgiven. Let's pray. Lord, you have invited us to come to you. May someone call upon the name of the Lord today and be saved. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen.